Today, the church speaks openly and plentifully about angels. And that should not surprise us, because the scriptures speak about the existence of these celestial creatures. The institution then formed by and founded on that divine revelation must mention the topic. But as we heard the scriptural statements about angels this morning, they were not conjuring up the image of those precious moment sculptures that some of us have. We did not get descriptions of a stereotypical cherub, no youthful figures with wings like a dove, carrying a harp, maybe even having a little halo on top of their head. We got to hear about wars, dragons. We could think of images of swords and trumpets, maybe angels in armor. Seems to fit the Lord of the Rings way more than a Hallmark catalog, doesn't it? And on this Saint Michael and All Angels Day, we should not be caught up with the caricature that the human mind conjures up about these beings. Rather, we are to be mindful of the true reality. Hearing what the scriptures say about angels reminds us that they are the Lord's servants who exist to carry out his merciful and gracious will for us. And that is part of the reason why the Lord made those creatures to be powerful and even to be warlike. The Apostle Paul instructed the Ephesian Christians and us, as we heard in worship earlier this month, as we were reading through that letter to Ephesus. He said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." And he said, why? Why that should be? "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And if that is so, if that is the situation we find ourselves in, then we do not need sentimental drivel. We do not need syrupy thoughts about angels. Rather, if that's the situation, we require powerful and supernatural aid instead. And today's scripture texts point us toward that reality, toward that truth about the theater of conflict in which we do find ourselves, just as the Ephesians did in Paul's description. Thinking about our lives here on earth, we can note that we are confronted by different opponents and different adversaries. We can identify all sorts of ideas that stand contrary to the Lord's will. And that way of thinking, contrary to the Lord's will, drives and steers actions done by all sorts of people. We are victims of that. We fall victim to it. In fact, in our fallen state, even those thoughts creep out of our own hearts. They also affect our neighbors who live near to us, as well as humans around the world from us. And that concept is actually pretty easily understood. It doesn't really stretch the mind to think that way. See, because we get the fact that individuals are motivated by their values, by their morals, what they think is important, what they consider to be significant. And so if we are encountering people who are not led by the Lord's will, then we can actually readily expect that their thoughts and their words and their deeds won't be in line with the Lord's will. And when that happens, it can cause conflict when we interact with them. It's a very basic calculation. That's not hard to get, not hard to understand. But we must also consider what we heard in the scripture readings for today, especially what we heard in today's Old Testament reading. See, in that text, we heard about a celestial messenger who brings the prophet Daniel news about what was happening to the Lord's people here on earth. And in that dialogue with Daniel, this angel reveals something about conflicts in this world. He tells Daniel, "Fear not, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." Then he mentions something very interesting. "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days." In that statement, the angel speaks about conflict existing between him, the angel, and a different being tied to Persia. A conflict serious enough that the angel actually needed help from another one who was greater and more powerful than he was. Now, when we start contemplating what is being revealed here, we start to begin to realize that the conflicts on earth tied to the Lord's will, or involving the Lord's will, don't just involve earthly beings. Rather, it is like what the Apostle Paul mentioned, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's the reality standing behind what we see. And not only that, but we are given to know that the angels, the Lord's angels, are actually our allies, allied combatants in this greater conflict. That's also the point of today's epistle reading that we heard, that presented the origin of this much greater conflict. We are told that war arose in heaven, that Michael and his angels were fighting against a dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And that great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. We start finding out as we keep reading that the earth actually becomes the venue where this conflict plays out, where the great opponent to the Lord's will tries to strike against anything and anyone tied to the one who prevailed against him. In fact, the heavenly host sounded the warning. "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore, Rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. That warning is given to us dwelling here on earth, that we have become targets of this diabolical wrath and anger. Why? Because we are aligned with the Lord and his Christ, his anointed one. The Lord's name has been placed on us. It marks us as belonging to him. We are recipients of the benefits that come from the atoning sacrifice and the glorious resurrection that Jesus carried out for us. New life has been created in us, beginning to restore that divine image and likeness that mankind was originally designed to have. The Lord's word has even become our language, our vocabulary. We have been conferred citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. And all those ties between us and the Lord and his anointed one, all those ties also set us at enmity with that great opponent of the Lord and his Christ. And so that warning given to the earth sounds out from the heavenly host, but that warning also noted how victory is given over that great opponent. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Because as fierce as that ancient serpent may be, he cannot prevail over the Lord and his Christ. However, the devil and the accuser, the deceiver of the whole world, he can try to lie. He can try to trick, he can try to deceive people into believing that he actually can prevail, that he actually is more powerful than the Lord and his Christ, that the truth about salvation being earned by the Lord's Christ isn't real or doesn't apply to us, or that he could actually offer us a better fate, a better destiny than the Lord himself can. And that's the deception that takes place here on earth because his time is short. It's an attempt by this great opponent to pull down others with him, to sweep them into that negative, destructive fate that's been sealed for him. And if he can accomplish that, by involving the powers of this world, including nations and their rulers, including cultures and their influencers, then so be it. Any weapon at hand can be used as a tool in this deception. Because this greater conflict revealed in the scriptures, involving that great opponent, the one who lies and deceives and murders, it's not governed by any rules of war. There's no Geneva Convention about this. And so we are to be aware of that reality, a reality that stands behind what is seen and experienced in this world. Because traveling through our lives, we do have evil around us. We are confronted daily by Satan and his minions who have been thrown down to the earth. those who seek to do us harm, to draw and pull us away from faith in Christ, to even try to lead us to abandon our lives as Christ's disciples. The devil is certainly present with his lying and murdering day and night and leaving us with no peace. But we are not left in such situation abandoned or unprotected, because a divine promise has been made to the Lord's people, including us, as we sang in today's psalm. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now that stood true for the Lord's anointed one when he was in this world, walking amongst us. But it also is true for all of us who are connected to him. Because from the moment we were baptized and we were joined to the Lord and given his name to know and to bear, we were given access to that aid that the Lord provides to his people, including the watchful eyes of vigilant angels. As the Lord says, the Lord will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. And as we continue in our baptismal identity and hold to the Christian faith, that divine gift of angelic protection remains with us. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone, we were told. Those angels also deliver our petitions to the Lord, who gives us a promised response, that when he calls to me, I will answer him, I will be with him in trouble, I will rescue him and honor him. You see, the Lord answers in that way, as we confess what he has become for us, that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. He answers the prayers for help that we offer, including the great prayer he had his anointed one teach us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Or, as many of you have heard, perhaps a little more accurately translated, deliver us from the evil one. He even answers the prayer that some of us learn from the catechism. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. And because that is so, we don't abandon the journey of discipleship. We don't quit because of potential harm and danger. Instead, we press on towards the goal of everlasting life. And we do so dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, abiding in the shadow of the Almighty all our days, being covered with his pinions, his protection. For that angelic protection talked about in the psalm is with us as we pass through the portal to life everlasting. It's interesting how that shows up in the scriptures, that even in death that protection is given. We were told, Jesus, in that story about the rich man and Lazarus, that Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. We heard about the body of Moses actually being of such great concern to the Lord that angels were involved in keeping it safe. We even heard the angel tell Daniel about a blessed end, that at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And that will be true for us also, as we receive the fulfillment of those divine promises promises which are made to us humans, humans that exist with bodies and souls, that with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because the destiny that the Lord has established for his people is life without end in his presence with his heavenly host, and he will use his angels to bring us safely there. When we learn the reality of what we experience, when we learn the reality that stands behind what we see, then we do learn the lesson that we actually need angels with swords more than cherubs with harps, don't we? Recall the psalmist's description of onslaughts that face the Lord's people. He talks about them being the snare of the fowler, the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that stalks in darkness, the destruction that wastes at noonday. And those are the things that our great opponent hurls at us, using physical, mental, and even spiritual forms to do so. But the Lord's promise is that we can be kept from having those things truly harm us. That is through the protection that comes from wearing the armor of God that he distributes through his word, as well as the guarding that his angels provide to the humans who belong to him. That security doesn't come from cute little statues, does it? It comes from the powerful warlike beings that the Lord created and provides to be our helpers. And so thanks be to that God who knows our needs and well provides us his promised help and defense. Both the angels that helped to cast down that dragon, but even more important, his anointed one, his Christ, who came into our world and crushed the serpent's head for us so that we can have life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.